You are tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have in studio with me today Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik. It's good to have you back again, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
It's always good to have you in. We've got good information. There's always good news coming out of the county and things moving and shaking and doing what we need to do. We've got a lot of things that that I'd like to discuss today. We have a lot of ground to cover. I'm going to get right into it. They've released the draft, the summary draft of the Spring Lake Park Reserve Master Plan, and I've had a chance to look through it a little bit, and it looks like it's going to be a very, should we call it an intensive program for that area? And go over that a little bit for me, please.
Sure. So how the process goes is the Metropolitan Council requires every 15 to about 10 to 15 years to do a master plan in the metro area for our park system. And the last park was done, I think, about 2008 for the Spring Lake Park. And we started this process back in beginning of 2020, and with COVID, things just take a little bit longer.
Yep.
But as you said, the right now it's gone through release that we've actually had. Kind of this is our concepts, our proposal. We do kind of a larger, longer term plan, but then we also do kind of a what we would expect to get done in 5 years and in 10 years is really where the visioning. That's kind of been a shift from the 2008 plan, kind of basically showed a fully developed 50-year plan, and we never had any money close to being able to do any of that. So we've really changed a lot of how we do our master plans and really do it with the money that we think we will be contributing or getting from other resources. And that's really kind of the way we've changed things from the Disney Disneyland proposal to something a little more realistic. And right now through April 4th is the public comment period to have the public make comments on what we're looking to do in the next 10 years at Spring Lake Park Reserve in Shars Bluff. And kind of on a high level, what that is we're going to go in and the plan is to reintroduce bison into Dakota County.
I remember hearing that. Yep.
So we did receive a grant from the state of Minnesota, subject to state legislative approval, for just under $600,000. That one of the initiatives of the state of Minnesota is to reintroduce bison into the state of Minnesota and have a herd of about 300 bison. 30 would go into Dakota County Parks using the lottery fund.
Sure.
Will be what would fund this. We have a great about 150 acres of prairie that we've been restoring over the years in the middle part of the park that you can access via the trail. And this would be fenced and secure. There's a lot of questions of you put bison in here, they're going to start charging at you. But there'd be a double fence system in that.
Right.
They'd be able to roam the prairie and really take care of that using the natural resources that are already there.
Did they do a pilot program in at Lebanon Hills last summer? Didn't they have bison there? They were talking about it. I remember that.
I think that was one bison to kind of spark some interest. We actually did it's about a 3-year process of contemplating this. They looked at putting bison in any of the parks and which would be the right one, and ultimately was decided that Spring Lake Park makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's more natural. It's a reserve as opposed to, but I think they brought a bison just to kind of, our busiest park is Lebanon, so I think it was more just to get people excited about that.
And do you remember how long that bison was? Just for the summer last summer?
I wasn't even that long. It was just, I think it was just for like a week. Just to kind of to say, hey, look at what we're looking to do. And
I remember it did generate a lot of a lot of reaction. You know, people were interested in seeing that. I remember seeing the pictures of people out.
Yes,
as much as they could at that point.
Absolutely, we've had goats in our parks. All summer long, but not the.
They're doing that. They're doing the goats at the Cottage Grove Ravine. I know the Great River Road Visitor and Learning Center in Prescott. They're excited about their goats. They can hardly wait to bring them back.
Yep. Most of our goats have been in either Lebanon or in Meeseville Ravine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those are kind of those bluff areas. They'll climb up and eat out the stuff. And
They love that buckthorn.
They do, except for apparently they don't down in Meesville because they literally bypass the buckthorn, but they
really
they ate the box elder and so many of the other invasive plants. Pretty much they mowed them all down and they left the buckthorn there. So we still had to go in and cut down the buckthorn, but I don't know if they knew something we didn't know. But
no, you need to review their contract. Maybe yes. There wasn't a clause there for...
But they still got a lot of great stuff in there. So that's one of the things that the master plan will have.
Uh-huh.
Additionally, will be a significant amount of natural resource restoration. So one of the things that we did is we now implement a 10-year natural resource plan, and there's some ravines that need to be mm-hmm. restored. So there's yep. millions of dollars in the plan for mm-hmm. natural resource protection and restoration. But then also we are looking to upgrade the Mississippi River access. So right now there's not a good way with Shar's Bluff to get down to the Spring Lake.
Okay.
And we're going to look to have some access to that, as well as some picnic and play opportunities that will be upgraded.
Is that going to include, say, any improvements or stabilization of Hillary Path going down to the boat launch on Spring Lake?
So not necessarily the Hillary.
I don't know if that's part of Shar's Bluff at all.
So Hillary Path is a township road.
Yeah.
The county took over the boat launch, but one of the visions in this is actually to move the boat launch over to what is called Bud's Landing.
Sure.
That road would be truly minimal maintenance with a gate. You wouldn't even have the most northern part of the road would not be used anymore for. In fact, there's some conversation of they would just turn that into a paved
trail
from the Mississippi River Greenway.
Yep.
They would just do that to get down to kind of would be one of the ways to get to a picnic area down at the river.
Is there still access? I believe it was an old resort. If you go past the boat launch and down around to the end of the lake there, I believe there was an old resort there, and there's still a gate there, and it looks like it's used. Is that still private property someone needs access for?
So that one's still private property there, but then Bud's Landing was also kind of a resort area, and that's going to be the eventual boat launch and area down. That's closer to the archery range on the other side.
Okay.
So, some things is that right now we're in that public comment. You can go online.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I just saw that KDWA went and put it on your Facebook page to be able to go in. And so there's some interactive surveys, some responses that you can do, as well as there will be a virtual open house on the 23rd of March.
Okay.
That you'll be able to go in and go via Zoom and just kind of see what the presentation looks like, offer more comments. But comments are accepted all the way through April 4th.
All right. And once again, that link is on our website. And we'll continue to, it's on our Facebook. We'll put it up on our website, also at kdwa.com.
That'd be great.
And is there a projected start date? I know we're in the planning phases of this now, and you have the 5 and 10 year. But when ideally would the county like to start working on that?
So you'll start to see, once the plan is, I think the anticipation is the plan will be approved this summer, and they'll start working on, so there is already some money allocated, so they'll start mm-hmm. working on some of the design, and you may start to see some things done as early as next year.
Okay.
We did receive about $250,000 in natural resource grants
mm-hmm.
Of some prairie restoration and some forest restoration
that
is going to be happening even this summer. Which is actually related to the plan that's not approved yet. But these were parts in there where the grant was available. We applied and did that. But I know, and we're working on a ravine stabilization just west of Hillary Path.
Right.
And that's mm-hmm. going to be about a $1.3 million project just to stabilize that ravine.
Because the whole thing is kind of sliding down into the river, isn't it?
And it's all sugar sand. So it's just the most amazing sand and just about a foot of topsoil on there, and a lot of it's still some of the bluffs in there that are kind of fall become sandstone and just
kind of eroding away with time and weather and just what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, we want to continue to publicize that the information is out there. There's a link on the Dakota County website. You can go through the Parks Department.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The whole presentation is there. I did take a look at it this morning, came in an email.
Yeah.
I didn't have a chance to read through it page by page, just a broad overview. But it looks like it's going to be well taken care of.
Yeah, and some of the things that are kind of exciting about it is, so the picnic shelters are coming to the end of their life, so you'll see some of the picnic shelters get improved. The playground has about another 5 to 10 years, and the playground is going to be at its life. I mean, some of those pieces are already 25 years old, so they'll put a new playground in, and they'll probably actually move the playground closer to the picnic shelters. Right now, the playground is kind of out there by itself, and so that's what one of the things we heard is to move the playground closer to those picnic shelters, and also get the playground out of the sun. It's a full sun.
So
they'll get that in some of the shady areas. And
I would recommend leaving the playground right where it is if that's going to be an issue, because now you have the kids running to it, having a good time, running home back to the parking lot or the picnic area. You can take them home all tired out and put them right to bed.
That's our favorite playground. We spent a lot of time this past summer exploring county parks, and I think that that was still the playground of choice in our family.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but things change and progress. Yeah. What I'd like to move on to, Char's Bluff, is, and once again, the Spring Lake Park Reserve, keep an eye on that. I wanted to also talk a little bit about legislation that Representative Rick Hansen has introduced. I got an email yesterday from Commissioner Atkins regarding protecting the exportation or the pumping and exportation of groundwater in Dakota County. This is all stemming from a plan that was submitted last year in 2019. Well, actually, 2019.
Years, yeah,
it's been 2 years. To pump, 500 million gallons of water out of our groundwater table and export it to Arizona. Now, was that 500 million gallons a year or a one-time amount? Do you remember? And fill us in about the legislation's doing.
So that was an annual number that they were trying to get. The DNR was able to, based on their permit request, the DNR was able to reject that. Mm-hmm. But there's just been some concern that, you would have tweaked a few things and, make a less of a number or a different aquifer, and there was a greater risk that this could have been tied up in the courts because there wasn't any laws that protected the groundwater. So just to remind the listeners that we are currently in a one-year moratorium that does not allow that to happen. There's no you cannot drill for exportation in Dakota County through the beginning of May. So we did a one-year moratorium, and that allowed us to kind of do some investigation, work with the legislature, as well as look at doing our own sort of ordinances that could make it doesn't
difficult.
Protect the whole state, but it could go say that you can do it, but you can't do it in Dakota County. It's kind of a thing.
And what are the resources that we're looking at? 500 million gallons a year. How do you know how large the aquifer is? And because they're also talking, Commissioner Atkins also spoke about increasing water demand over the next 10 to 25 years is one of the reasons that we want to prevent the exporting of it.
Well, I think there is some concerns in the central part of the county where the aquifer is actually going down. So that's been some of this is you start pulling. It's the same large aquifer that potentially this could come from, and you draw it out of the southern part of the county. It's going to have impact on Rosemont and Invergrove Heights, for example. So that's certainly been one of them. That's a concern, particularly because they were trying to go to an aquifer even deeper than the ones that are currently in use, and that's not allowed right now.
Okay.
So they were looking to go about 800 feet into the ground, which is a different aquifer. And you never know when you go that far what's going to happen is where's the water going to drain. And
sure.
So it really was not something that I think a proposal that had much legs, but there's just been a lot of concern on what if, what next. So we had actually asked the state legislature to figure out something, and as you had said, Representative Hansen has authored a bill and is having a hearing coming up this week on legislation to basically not allow this to happen.
Okay, and where the wells were going to be placed, weren't they in this area, kind of Hastings or Vermilion, I believe?
Randolph Township. So
Randolph,
right by Cannon Falls, actually.
Yep.
And part of that is the company that proposed this is really a railroad company, and they have rail lines right in that township. Going to the industrial park there, and that was the reason, was they were going to go and just drill the wells in their industrial park because they already had a spur that went right to it.
Yeah, it's a spur line that services one of the national carriers.
That's correct. Yep.
I do know that. So what is the likelihood then of that legislation making it through committee? Has it got a lot of support? And does it have support on both sides of the aisles, as far as you're aware?
Well, and it does. In fact, the Minnesota Association of Counties has actually added this as one of their priorities as well.
Okay.
So it really came out of Dakota County, but it's gotten statewide support. The only people who've been cynical of it are like, there's no way government would ever let something like this happen. This is so outlandish and crazy that there's no way Minnesotans would make this happen. So why go and make a law about it? But here we are. So that's really the only criticism hasn't been we shouldn't do this because this is wrong. But it's actually been, this would never fly on this stuff here. We would fight this way too hard in Minnesota. Heck, we raised a sales tax for clean water and for environmental things. We put our lottery proceeds into the environment. We're not the kind of state that's going to go and let this happen. So that's been the only criticism of it. But the other side has been, well, let's just make that for sure. It doesn't hurt to put that in law. So where we are at is that the legislature may take action on it this year, and if they don't, it's going to be the fact that they feel the laws are already strong enough. That's kind of been the DNR's approach, is that they feel they have enough protection to either hold this up or say no.
Okay.
We've kind of said we'd like one extra measure just to call this out very clear, and if by chance the state doesn't do something this year, we have our moratorium. We have a couple options. We may extend our moratorium just to see what the state does. Mm-hmm. And then it's a statewide position, which is what the Association of Minnesota Counties supports, is just do something statewide. But we also have the tool in our tool belt to go and do a county only, which then, mm-hmm. we do it, we pass it, it beats the smell test, then we make Goodhue County do it and race. So we could, very easily that you could get 87 counties that pass an ordinance just like this,
sure.
And we'd have no problem.
Yeah.
But we were just trying to get a statewide approach, to kind of a blanket approach first.
I would think a statewide approach would be better, because if you're piecemealing it county by county, you're basically one step behind probably the companies that, okay, we can't do this in Dakota, but the aquifer extends into Goodhue. Let's drill there and get it while we can. So a statewide approach, kind of a blanket thing, seems to be the most sensible way to move if you need to.
Well, and that was one of our biggest concerns, is the original proposal was, in essence, in Dakota County, Randolph Township. If they would have gone 3 miles south, some of the major reasons why the DNR was able to very quickly say no only apply to the 7-county metro area.
Ah.
So they could have, I'm sure they would have found another reason, but that was a great example of why we're like, this should be a state approach, not a metro yeah. or individual county.
All right. We are about out of time on this segment. You're listening to Community In-Depth on KDWA. What I'd like to do at this point, as always, sir, is give you the opportunity to provide your contact information if any of your constituents have questions or concerns.
Well, thank you. Yes. So you can reach me. All my information is on the Dakota County website at dakotacounty.us, but feel free to email me or Facebook or phone number, both home and office. They're all on that number there. But my office number is 438-4427.
Right. And the website is dakotacounty.us. Click on the government tab, and information for Commissioner Slavik and all of the other commissioners are listed right there. We have to call it a segment. I thank you for your time, sir. I appreciate you coming in. You're listening to Community In-Depth on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7.